that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. The Open Studios Art Tour is happening in Chico, Paradise, and Oroville this weekend and next. You'll get a chance to visit a wide array of visual artists in their own workspaces. The 2016 Art Tour event kicks off tonight with a special reception at the Chico Art Center, where you'll get to meet some of the artists and see some of their work. And on today's program, we'll be talking with five of those artists who are taking part in the Open Studios Art Tour.
This is ridiculous. What am I doing here? I'm in the wrong story.
Axiom Repertory Theater in Reading is going into the woods with the Stephen Sondheim musical, in which characters from many different fairy tales mix and collide. We'll talk with the director and several members of the cast. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Mull with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Reading tomorrow, the North State Symphony, under the baton of Maestro Scott Seaton, shows its love of classical music with the concert String Romance. Featured will be three serenades by Tchaikovsky, Beethoven, and Elgar. The symphony plays at the First United Methodist Church, 1825 East Street, starting at 7:30. Exhibiting at the Orland Arts Center, The Magnificent Horse, devoted to the beauty, grace, and importance of the equine species. Gallery hours 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. Great jazz awaits you in Chico. Tomorrow, the university's Jazz Express, a collection of talented student musicians, presents its concert, New Directions in Jazz. It's at the Harlan Adams Theater, starting at 7:30 tomorrow. The North State Symphony romances Chico Sunday afternoon, playing the same program of Tchaikovsky, Beethoven, and Elgar. The music starts at 2 in the Zing Recital Hall at CSU Chico. Thursday evening at Chico State's Laxon Auditorium, get some comic relief from this endless election season with the biting political satire of the troupe Capital Steps. This group puts the mock in democracy, starting at 7:30 next Thursday. At Chico State's Janet Turner Print Museum, visit the exhibit Wide Open Spaces, Janet Turner Prints with Photos of the Big Chico Creek Ecological Reserve. The Turner Hours, 11 to 4, Monday through Saturday. One of Chico's favorite art venues commemorates an anniversary with 35 Alive, celebrating 35 years of the 1078 Gallery. This exhibit features works by many top local artists. Hours at 1078, 12:30 to 5:30, Thursday through Saturday. At the James Snidel Gallery, paintings by Dolores Mitchell. Her exhibit, Dreaming of San Francisco, showcases Mitchell's bold and colorful jazz-influenced imagery. You can find the Snidel Gallery on 4th Street, across from Chico City Hall. In Marysville, the Acting Company ends its run of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. This lively rendition of the Bible story, with music by Andrew Lloyd Webber, will entertain you tonight or tomorrow at 8 o'clock. The final performance is Sunday at 2. In Grass Valley tonight, the popular comedian and political commentator Will Durst brings his brand new one-man show, Elect to Laugh, to the Center for the Arts, starting at 8. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Award-winning writer Ursula K. Le Guin has a birthday today. As great scientists have said, and as all children know, Le Guin pointed out, it is, above all, by the imagination that we achieve perception and compassion and hope.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm at the Chico Arts Center with five artists who are going to participate in Open Studios. This is a yearly event, and local artists really look forward to this. We're first going to speak with a sculptor, Dave Lawton.
This has been going on for over 30 years, and I've participated in probably the last 18 or 19 years.
Tell us about the event, Dave.
Well, the event of Open Studios is artists have people come and visit them in their studio. There'll be people giving little workshops. A lot of studios will be open for people to view and see where art is actually made.
Dave, how about the reception this evening?
The reception is from 5 to 7 p.m. Please get there on time. It's usually very crowded because people are really interested in seeing the new artwork in the gallery. There's one work represented by each artist.
And how about this map?
Tour guides are available at the Chico Arts Center for the weekends of October 22nd, 23rd, and October 29th and 30th. With that brochure, you get a map of where the studios are located, and you just simply follow those and look for the blue sign that says Open Studio Tour.
What's your studio going to be like, Dave?
Oh, it's dynamic. I do a lot of welding and a lot of grinding, so they'll be able to see my studio, but they won't necessarily see me interacting. But they can visit the art house, which is on Nord Avenue, which shows a lot of my outdoor sculpture and a lot of my wife's sculptures. She'll be doing demo, and I'll be just kind of hanging around explaining the processes I use to create my sculpture.
Our next artist is Lori Stevens. What are you going to be doing?
I have a studio that I've been working in for 30 years in the same place, and it's just packed full of stuff. I started making art. I was a little tyke. Became an art minor of all things in college, morphed into teaching art at the high school level for 30 years. I would say that my students taught me as much as I taught them. I take their discoveries and what they learned and their playfulness, and I bring it to my own art these days. I've gone from uber realism to quite abstract. It's fun now because I just get to play and explore where shapes and color and lines and textures take me.
Well, I'm looking at a furniture maker, but furniture as an art form.
Hi, I'm Richard Lee. I've been in the studio tour for the last 14 years. I'm delighted to be able to show people the things that I do and show them through my studio. I've got a wide selection of items that I have in my inventory that I'll be showing. Over 100 pieces, actually. Some are large pieces of furniture and some are accessories. Large pieces of furniture include side tables and a glass display cabinet, a liquor cabinet, a desk, and other items like that. I've actually had a passion for woodworking since my first shop. I started when I was about 10 years old, and I've continued making things since then. First, totally self-taught, and then I took a year off when I was in my early 40s to go to a woodworking school full-time for a year. That helped me to improve my skills. A lot of my projects include inlays. I'll be actually displaying how I create these inlays during the course of the studio tour. The inlays are basically objects that you create by piecing various kinds of woods together. And I use a variety of woods, including a lot of domestic woods like walnut and cherry and ash and so forth. But I also use a lot of tropical woods such as wenge and bubinga and woods like that. I look forward to having you visit my shop.
I'm turning now to Leslie Mahone.
I'm rather new to art myself because I'm a retired nurse of 35 years, but I've always loved art. I'm particularly drawn to abstraction. Lately, I've been trying to do large format abstraction. I find it very challenging and love the mystery of the process. I begin with something possibly in mind, then I never really know where I'm going, but where I end up, I usually fall in love with that. I find abstraction thrilling, intimidating, and just glorious.
Well, I'm looking back at Lori, who has expressed a great deal of enthusiasm for the two speakers we've just been hearing from.
Rich and Leslie work together really well. Rich's studio is phenomenal. It's huge. He has so many diverse pieces to explore. One is better and more unique than the next. And Leslie's on top with the colors that she uses. The two artists blend together beautifully.
Our final speaker, Brenda Schlegel, is a jeweler, but almost a sculptor in jewelry.
I started my jewelry career actually squashing pennies on the railroad tracks when I was a student at Chico State in the 60s. I went from that to eventually doing an apprenticeship in Germany for 3.5 years, which gave me a pretty sound training so that I was able to come back and work as a bench jeweler. In my earlier years as a jewelry maker, what I did was very technical. I like to challenge myself. But now you'll see when you come to my studio that most of what I'm doing is immediately gratifying, fold forming, and doing patinas, which is really just a matter of burying metals like copper or brass and leaving them for 2 or 3 weeks and seeing what Mother Nature does to them. It's the element of surprise and wonder at what turns out that I love so much, sort of letting go of the control element and enjoying the magic.
Well, I think we hear from these speakers that there's so much life experience you can absorb, such as taking chances and being creative. And it's also an event that is welcoming to children. Would you say that's true, Dave?
Oh, we definitely encourage parents to bring their kids with them or youngsters in high school. I've had visitors in my studio just blown away by the fact that they can actually go into somebody's studio at the age they are. And it's a unique opportunity for them, too. And so it hopefully that encourages some to consider the visual arts as be a lifelong pursuit.
Why do you think this event is so important to the Chico Arts Center and to local artists?
Artists really like people to appreciate what they do. They would enter open studios hoping to create an interest in the medium that they work in. Open Studio provides them with that opportunity. There's a rich diversity of talent in Chico. This is one way of going to people's studio and see how they work.
Will you give us a recap on the dates?
The dates for this year's tour, October 22nd to 23rd and the 29th and 30th, and some artists will only be on for 1 weekend, so check your tour guide to make sure that they're going to be open that weekend. We encourage people to go on the first weekend because they'll have plenty of opportunity to hit the other artists on the second weekend.
Well, there may be a few listeners who do not know where the Chico Arts Center is, and we don't want them to miss the reception.
The Chico Arts Center is 450 Orange Street at the Chico Depot, where Amtrak and Greyhound discharge and pick up their travelers. We're right next to the Great Northern Coffee.
See you at Open Studios.
This weekend and next, the Open Studios Art Tour. Tonight there's a reception at the Chico Art Center where you can meet some of the artists, look at some samples of artwork, and pick up a map which shows all the different places you can visit artists in their workspaces. That's at the Chico Art Center tonight from 5 to 7.
Wrong story.
Into the woods you have to go, but that's the way you learn to cope.
Our Reading correspondent Kelly Frost got to go to a production of Into the Woods, put on by Axiom Repertory Theater. After the performance, Kelly talked with the director and cast. The director, Ken Hill, says that Stephen Sondheim's musical is very special for him.
If anyone understands the fluidity of theater and how best to make it work, it's Sondheim. So for me, it was understanding the form of the show and then not trying to work against it, not having it be something that it's not. And then by discovering its form and its intrinsic nature, we just allowed it to blossom.
I'm sure you've seen it before. You know what it's supposed to be, maybe, but how did you make it your production?
It's kind of a fine line as directors that we often walk. And with something like, say, Shakespeare, for instance, there are a lot of liberties that can be taken. You can stage a Shakespearean play on the planet Mars and call it Forbidden Planet, right? Mm-hmm. But with something that's as established and as iconic a piece of American theater as Into the Woods, the liberties are less so. My own personal belief is that as a director, I have to fulfill the author's intent. In this case, two authors' intents. In reading the play and examining it, I found it to be very, very humorous. Now, I think that that may be an element that's missing from other incarnations of the production. I don't want to point any fingers, but the humor of the play is just rampant. I think many modern audiences come to Into the Woods perhaps more familiar with, say, a film version or something they may have seen on YouTube. They may not be as familiar with the humor within the show. And it's a humor that's based on very subtle wordplay and the deconstruction of the grim fairy tales. There's quite a bit in the show that I think would be unique to this particular production that one wouldn't necessarily see in other shows. I don't want to give anything away, but even my producer, Nancy, was asking the other night, she was going, so when this happened and that happened and that happened and that happened, and she goes, was that you? And I'd go, yeah, that was me. She goes, I knew it. I knew that was a Ken Hill stuff, right? But other things are from the actors. It comes out of this organic development. We start with the text, we honor the text, we understand what the author's trying to say, and then we try to find the best road to get there.
As a director, what kind of challenges does this venue pose for you, especially with the weather the way it is?
Before we booked Reading School of the Arts, we did a 30-year search of the weather in Reading in October, and we found out that the average rainfall was 2 inches. I said, let's take a look at the Farmer's Almanac. The Farmer's Almanac said this is going to be a brutal winter, right? And so I went, oh my gosh. And then I said, I hope it rains at least one time, because this would just be a magical event, and it has been. The way the venue's constructed, the audience stays dry, and the stage, except for the very front of the apron, covered. To watch this play unfold with the breeze blowing or the rain coming down, that veil of rain, it's just magical.
I am Nancy Dutton, and I'm the executive director of Axiom Repertory Theater. We started in January of this year. This is our third production. We're doing Amadeus in December and God of Carnage in February, then Marvin's Room in April.
Why did you feel Reading needed a different theater company?
We just felt it was time to bring something outside the box with theater in this community. A lot of the theater companies currently do Disney, or they do shows that, I don't want to say the word safe, but they do shows that people would know or recognize, I suppose. We're trying to reach a group of theater goers that have a sensibility towards modern works and works that are out in the metropolitan areas, but not in more of a smaller community.
My name is Hatea Russo, and I'm playing Cinderella. At first, she's kind of the classic Cinderella, and then around Act 2, she changes and decides to be like her own real person. I spent a lot of the time reading the script and watching the musical, and then going through my day-to-day life, and be like, oh, this must be how she feels when she's doing this. I'd be sweeping her and have an encounter with someone. I just would see her in my life and how she would respond to different things.
My name's Rebecca. I play the witch. It's so much fun. Bernadette Peters, who originated the role in the Broadway production, has always been a huge idol of mine. So to get to play a role that she originated and that Meryl Streep played in the movie, I feel like I'm following in the footsteps of some pretty amazing women. It's fun. It's a fun role. There's definitely a huge shift as she transforms from being ugly and mean and horrible. She finally gets what she wants and becomes beautiful and tries to be nice, tries to be sweet with everyone, but realizes she's just a witch, whether she looks it or not. It was fun to get to play with that difference between the two acts, change my voice a little bit from more growly in the first act when she's hunched over and awful to her attempting to be more of a princess and kind of Disney and fun. But ultimately she decides, no way, I'm evil. I'd rather have my powers than the look.
My name's Ryan the Manic, and I played two characters. I played the wolf and Cinderella's prince.
Tell me how you prepared to play both characters, because they're so different.
The wolf was actually really straightforward, pretty simple. He's one-dimensional. All he is a predator. The way I prepared for that one was I thought of something that I would want to devour, like, you know, my favorite food or favorite dessert, like a buffet that I would just go crazy over if I was like a little kid. The prince was a little more challenging for me because the prince is multifaceted. He's charming, he's, you know, desirable, he's kind, but then he's also kind of a dark character because he's a womanizer. He's a predator in his own right as well. Trying to find how to portray all those at the same time, that was a challenge for me. And then there's quirkiness and comedy, of course, that the princes have to have. In the scenes where he was more preying, I was, again, imagining, like, what's one thing that I would really, really want and that I would desire and would turn me into the dark, demented person.
I am Victoria Graham.
Hi.
Cinderella's stepmother. She and her daughter are kind of mean girls. They really are. So they're not above, unfortunately, bullying poor Cinderella.
How do you feel about doing Sondheim's music?
This is the fifth Sondheim show I've done. I am a true devotee of his work because he writes on such an intense psychological level. Just read something recently. He said the relationship with the father and the mysterious man and the father and the baker was drawn from his own with his father. And also the witch's relationship issues with his mother.
Right.
I adore his work. This is my second time doing this, though, and I found it even harder than the first time.
My name is Christian David Crozier, and yes, I play the baker.
A very conflicted character.
Yeah. He's a man who's never really faced his fears, I would say. It's very difficult to struggle to care for his family and look after himself when there was no one really there to show him how to do it. His father left at a young age, and I share that similarly.
And then the witch kind of issues this challenge to you to find these items, which is basically what the whole play is about, but he really took that on.
Determination, you know, that's really the heart and spirit. And I guess maybe learning that it's okay to be afraid, to break down, to have your moment, and to come back stronger than ever and prevail.
What's your name?
Madison Nascimento, and I play Little Red Riding Hood.
Everybody knows that story, mm-hmm. but this Little Red Riding Hood is definitely different.
Yeah.
How did you prepare for that?
I sang this song once for a recital, and I really loved getting into the character. And I like how confident and strong she is at the end. But in the beginning, she's like the sweet character you know, but she's kind of like gets darker because she has like so many role models in her life that are darker. Like, I think in the scene where she gets eaten by the wolf and the granny tells her to kill it, she's really learning how to be darker and how to be more evil.
Tell me about playing out here on this stage, especially with the weather the way it was.
I went to this school for 9 years, and we've never done anything in the rain on the stage because they're like, we can't do that. But here, it's very magical.
What does it feel like as an alumni of this school to come back and do a production here?
It was really cool. I got to see some of my old teachers. I think they might be coming to the show, and it was awesome.
I'm Rapunzel.
Okay. Wow, your hair looks different.
I'm not a blonde. Brown hair.
So what's your name?
I am Bethany Leanhart.
Okay, and you're mm-hmm. Rapunzel?
Yes, I am.
And how did you feel playing that character?
It was fun. I really like working with Becky as my mom. She's so amazing.
Your character's locked up in a tower for I don't know how many years. How do you get that in your head that that's maybe how your mother treated you?
I think that Rapunzel at first was very naive. I think that she doesn't even realize that there's something else out there because she was so sheltered her whole life. So I actually don't even think that she knew until she met the prince and she saw this other world. She discovers, hey, there's more than just staying here in this tower. I want to see what is out there. And I actually think Rapunzel's brave for even sticking up to her mom, knowing that her mom is crazy. I don't think Rapunzel is a victim in any way.
How do you put together interacting with all these different types of fairy tale characters? How do you grasp that in your head? Like, it is about Rapunzel, but it's also about
Snow White
and Cinderella and Jack and the Beanstalk.
I don't know how I put it together. That's such a good question.
Tell me about Sondheim. Did you like doing his music?
Oh my gosh, it's so hard. It is so hard. I didn't know exactly what I was signing up for when I was like, yeah, sure. So then I get in this, and it took me so long to learn some of the music because the different key changes, the amount of words that are packed into one song. I'm like, what is this? But once I learned it, I was just saying today, now that I know it, it's amazing because there's so much meat inside the words and inside the music, and it's one of my favorite musicals now, ever, just because of Sondheim's writing. He's brilliant.
Once upon a time, in a far-off kingdom, there lived a young maiden.
Careful the things you say, children will resent. Careful the things you do, children will see.
Current production by Axiom Repertory Theater, Into the Woods, the Stephen Sondheim musical, continues through October 30th at the Reading School of the Arts. Curtain time on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays is 7:29. The matinee performances on Sunday are at 2. And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program in its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts where you live. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.
I think I see a glimmer.